This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Hello, today I'm talking to Helen Barker, the co-founder of Fika. Helen's aim is to create a positive impact on the fashion industry through her slower paced, sustainably conscious brand. So Helen and I spent lots of time talking about the fashion industry as a whole and some of the issues that Helen sees with the industry and what she is doing as the co-founder of Fika to change that. So we talk a lot about slow fashion, sustainable fashion, as well as how to start a fashion brand from scratch. So whether you're interested in starting a fashion brand, whether you're just interested in fashion in general, or perhaps neither, I honestly think you'll still find this episode really interesting and fascinating, as Helen is really open and she has lots to share with us. So hi, Helen. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, me too. So can we please start with you giving instructions to yourself, your business and what you sell, please?
Yeah, so I'm Helen. I am co-founder and owner of Fika, which is a responsibly sourced fashion brand for women. And our aim is to really create a beautiful range that empower women, make them feel amazing, but also give them those key pieces that they need in their wardrobe. It's quite a different model. We're kind of trying to slow things down a bit, which I know we'll go into a bit later.
Yeah, it would be good to talk about that actually. But I think before we go into what Fika's looking to do, maybe we'll talk about a bit about the fashion industry in general, because I know from speaking to you before that the kind of reason behind Fika is that there are some issues that you guys see with the fashion industry as it is. So do you want to talk a little bit about that, about the issues you're seeing and then what Fika's doing to address that?
Yeah, definitely. So just to give you a bit of background, Fika means to slow down and appreciate the good things in life. It's a Swedish term. So that's kind of where it all started in the pandemic when, you know, everyone had stopped. And it really gave me and my business partner time to really reflect on the industry, what's going on and what really needs to change. I think everyone sat back and thought, okay, there needs to be a big change here. I think the big problems at the moment is fast fashion. As a nation, we've got used to wearing things once, throwing them away, and that's become like almost like a culture. And so in return, things are being mass produced quickly. And also consumers are used to receiving those products really quickly, next day, sometimes same day. So there's this kind of quite difficult cycle that has kind of been born, and it's really not sustainable for the future in terms of, you know, where our planet is going, and also in terms of the people making the, you know, the factories and things like that. It's just not a sustainable model to keep kind of producing in that way. So at Fika, we really wanted to do something different, make a real statement. It was really scary to put it out there because I don't know many people that have kind of done it this way, and through talking to people are very excited about it, but it is quite a different way thing to get your head around. So we're really promoting slow fashion and really considering those purchases. So our range is really designed to kind of be worn for season after season, year after year. We want to show people how to look after their clothing. I know it sounds, you know, ridiculous, but actually if you look after things properly and you know how to do that, then, you know, those clothes can be worn and worn and worn. We really want people to keep their clothes for longer. We want to try and send out, but basically the opposite message to fast fashion. And I think that is where the industry kind of has to go in terms of the future.
That really makes sense. I mean, I know for myself that I've definitely got to a point, and I don't know whether it's a point in my life or just, I don't know, but where I definitely would rather spend a little bit more money on something that's good quality. And I also consider purchases a lot more. If I'm not going to wear something, you know, week in, week out, well, maybe you don't wear things that often, but if I can't see myself wearing something that often, I think, do I actually need it? And I do think that maybe there is getting more of a shift in that direction, perhaps.
Definitely. I think the pandemic has been a big part of that shift. I think without that, I don't know whether we would be seeing such a change. I think we really are at a really interesting and exciting turning point in the industry, not just fashion, but many other industries as well. I know lots of other people that are starting small businesses kind of during and after the pandemic. And I think there's a lot more that's come, which is great. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing what everyone else does.
You've mentioned quite a few things that Fika are doing differently. Let's talk about some of those, if that's okay. So when you talk about slow fashion, and for anyone who doesn't know, you know, who's not aware of the term, how would you define slow fashion?
And for us, we use a made-to-order model. So it's about a 3-month turnaround, which, you know, is quite a long time for people to wait. But we do all that work in advance. So we do it 3 months in advance of when it kind of needs to be in for that season. So we want the range to be multi-seasonal. So it's going to be worn across the season. We're showing people on our Instagram how to style it, how to layer it. That's kind of...
Oh, I see. So it's not that the consumer orders and waits 3 months. It's that from the time you place the order...
Yeah, so we do it in advance and then it will come in, you know, that seasonally appropriate time. Most of our stuff can be kind of worn throughout the year, but then there are a couple of, you know, like coats and high summer dresses that need to be worn at certain times of the year. But apart from that, we make sure that what we do is we get wholesale orders at the moment. And then for Fika, the Fika brand, we go on the back of that. So we don't create anything or make anything additional that hasn't been bought by our wholesale stockists as well.
Oh, that's really interesting. And we'll talk a bit more about wholesale either. So, so you're getting the orders and then making it. That is a really different way of doing it. Am I right in thinking that usually in the fashion industry, brands would make a whole load of different products and different ranges and then try and... And I guess that's why you see some of the high street brands have these huge sales where they're really discounting things at the end of the season.
Yeah, I worked in the fashion industry for the last 15 years for a supplier. So I was an account manager. So I did all of the selling, but all of the creative side with the design team. And we worked with a lot of big brands. I think that's where I've learned a lot of what I want to do differently. And not necessarily, it's quite a traditional, you know, people do things in a certain way in the fashion industry in terms of what season stock goes in and just the whole process. And I was like, well, we don't have to do it like that. We can do it. You know, the world is changing. The climate is changing outside. You know, we're here in November and the sun's shining. And, you know, it's we just have to be really adaptable. And again, that's another thing that I took from the pandemic. And also having had so much experience in so many different brands, you know, from sort of supermarket brands to more high-end global high street brands in the UK and also America and things like that. So it's kind of clubbing all that information together and really thinking, okay, how can we use all of these tools that we've kind of previously seen and put it to the absolute best kind of use.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned then, so we talked about you have a 3 month sort of order time. So let's talk a little bit about the sourcing and production, because I know that you source responsibly. So can you maybe talk a little bit about what that means and then talk a little bit about the production process, if that's okay?
Yeah, of course. So responsibly sourced is the main ethos of our brand is, you know, ensuring that we're using sustainably sourced fabrics. At the moment, we have kept it quite tight and quite small. We use a lot of organic cotton, recycled polyester, and then EcoVero. That's kind of the main things that we use, because as a small brand, it is really difficult. Obviously, our quantities are really small, and it's really difficult to make that work with a manufacturing unit that's quite established. So we've kept it tight, but we've kind of made sure that the styles are doing different jobs within our range for those different types of customer. And I'm quite lucky because obviously having that experience and having contacts in the industry have pulled out a lot of favors, and a lot of people have come to help us. So we produce in Vietnam. I've worked with Vietnam for a long, long time, and I've been there twice, been to the factories, absolutely love the kind of setup that they have there. It's one of the only countries that I've visited that has an amazing skill for multi-product within one factory. A lot of factories have, specialized, especially with things like denim, they have specialized factory and outerwear because they're so technical. But in Vietnam, the level of the skill of the multi-product is just incredible. And it really kind of, I fell in love with it, fell in love with the people and the kind of the whole, it's very established out there. So I just felt like for us, it was kind of relatively easy to get going, but still finding those key factories that would support us when we're smaller as well. I think that is the kind of the biggest hurdle that we've had to overcome, but we've got there. I think that's the main thing, is to keep going, and it'll all kind of work out in the end. But yeah, one of the many kind of hurdles that we had to endure. But
yeah, I can see that must be a challenge, finding someone who wants to work with really small quantities.
Yeah, I'm lucky that I kind of managed to have those contacts that have been absolutely incredible in supporting me and the brand. So yeah, very, very lucky to have that.
And with the 3 month order time, I mean, because I honestly don't know this, for the fashion industry, is that short or long?
Short. So we normally work a year in advance. So when I was working for suppliers, the high street will be working a year in advance, and they normally bring things like outerwear in sort of July, September time, traditionally. They bring them in earlier, they sort of tend to keep them in for longer. I think that's changing a little bit now because of what the world's doing, but I know a lot of retailers still kind of stick to that longer lead time. They buy in bulk, and then obviously then they have to try and kind of, they get a better cost price, but then they need to hopefully sell it and then kind of
So was that challenging as well from the point of finding suppliers, because obviously they'd be working to much shorter time scales than they used to?
Yeah, I think for us, we did a lot of work on the fabric. A lot of time the fabric takes a long, long time to make, to source it and make it. We did all that up front. So when we were sort of creating the brand, we really honed in on those key fabric bases that we really wanted to concentrate on, and we made sure that they're there. So that's why we've managed to kind of, although it's still quite long for the consumer in terms of the fashion industry, it is quite quick. And we're lucky that we're working with factories that we're actually doing them a favor. So we've managed to plan it, so when they're in their quieter periods of time and they necessarily probably wouldn't have anything on the line, they're slotting our goods in there and making them. So actually we're kind of helping them out and they're helping us out, and it's kind of worked really well, because at times factories can have really busy times of year because of the buying pattern of UK and global retailers, and then they have these really quiet times of year when they don't have anything on, and that's actually a really big cost for the factory to try and maintain when they don't have as much going. So they'd rather take these sort of smaller quantities, put on a bit of a smaller line, and help us out. So yeah, it's taken a lot of planning, but obviously because we kind of know how it works, that it's fallen into place now and we're kind of getting into a groove with it.
I love that. It's just so good that like everyone wins. That's really good.
I always wanted Fika to kind of, my dad's got this saying, and that he always wanted me to sort of start my own business, and so I said, you just always do the right thing. And so throughout the process of starting Fika, I was like, right, it's kind of my little motto in my head. It kind of comes into my head. It's like, what is the right thing to do? And you have to build those, we have this business because we've built it and created those relationships for so long. And I'm really, working with a small group of people, but I want to keep it with them. Hopefully as we grow, we can grow with them and they will grow with us. And I think that's such an important part of the business.
That really is. And I think you're right, those relationships are so important because hopefully they're going to be long term.
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about relationships. So yeah, it's really important to us. And yeah, we want to do the right thing and support manufacturing and also the communities around it as a business.
And it's really interesting what you were saying about the fabric as well, because one thing I noticed when I looked at your lookbook, which I loved, by the way, that you do a lot of I would call it fashionable yet classic.
Yes, one
thing I noticed that I loved was you would do like a one beautiful top in lots of different colors, but I'm assuming that's the same fabric and it's been designed that way to help Yeah.
Exactly. Throughout the design process, I've got two designers that I've worked with, again, for a very, very long time in previous roles, and I worked really closely with them. Throughout, I wanted it to be, what are those key pieces? These like well-made, really beautiful fabric pieces that people need and want to wear year in, you know, like a striped t-shirt in a gorgeous fit that's really flattering. You know, I'm quite a curvy girl myself, so I'm really particular about how things fit and little details. So we've really used that throughout the process to make, you know, basically what I feel like I've been missing for a long time. And also, you know, friends and family, been a massive inspiration. You know, I'm 36 and a lot of my friends have come up to me and said, we can't find anything, you know, you need to do something about it. So I was like, oh, right, okay. But, you know, Fika is, it's aimed at 30 plus. So anything, you know, my sister's 40, I wanted her to be able to wear it. My mum's nearly 70, I want her to be able to wear it. And we have had that feedback from people, which has been brilliant. And also from younger. So it really is a brand for everyone. Hopefully.
Thank you. And you touched on sizing then a moment ago. So I know one of the other things that Fika does is true to fit sizing. Can you talk a little bit about that? So what it is and how you achieve that? Because I cannot get my head around how for any fashion brand, I was about to say for any fashion brand, they make clothes that fit. And I have to say there are lots of fashion brands, in my opinion, make clothes that don't actually fit that well, or don't fit consistently anyway.
Exactly. That's, I mean, it's been what it's a minefield. It absolutely is, because, you know, having worked with many different retailers, every retailer has their own, you know, pattern and fit and look that they want to achieve. I think for us, I wanted it to be more fluid. So our sizing, apart from our denim is single size, but everything else is extra small to extra, extra large. And we've done that because I wanted it to be not just a size 8, not just a size 10. I wanted it to be more fluid within that. And we've also designed the pieces to have comfort in them. So we have, you know, on our formal trousers, we've got a little panel on the back that's elasticated, because, you know, some people have curvier hips and a smaller waist, and some people, you know, are more conscious of their tummy areas, so they want a bit of give around there. So it's not just about the actual sizing, it's about creating breathable fabrics and, you know, kind of movement within the garments, so they can kind of fit as many different body shapes as it possibly can. So our sizes, you know, I've stopped like an 8 to 10, a 12 to 14, 16 to 18, and so on. It is more fluid in that way. So I think we want people to feel good and comfortable in clothing. There's so many things that I've bought in the past and, you know, it just hasn't been representative. And you're right, you know, it hasn't been consistent. So for us, consistency is absolutely key. We've done a lot of work on the patterns, you know, getting the fit right and making that right, but also in terms of the pattern and making sure that the wastage, as a sustainable, responsibly sourced brand, the wastage is all being kind of minimized, and we're utilizing any wastage that comes from outside the pattern as well. That's all part of the process that we've put into the fit as well as making. So yeah.
Oh wow, I love those little details.
Thank you.
It sounds like you put so much into this, because I think there were so many brands out there that, you know, you can buy one t-shirt and you're an 8 and another t-shirt and you're a 10, and it's really, and I'm assuming that's because they use different factories and different fabrics. And
exactly, yeah. And some of the sort of, you know, more cost-effective, the sort of cheaper brands, they tend to kind of, the sizes can get smaller sometimes if they kind of have a certain size of sort of width of fabric. They may try and squeeze a few more into that panel of fabric than needed, whereas we slightly over order our fabrics, so there's more than enough room. And then for our cotton example, we are donating it so it can be recycled into things like paper and cardboard and things like that. But it's, you know, you have to donate quite a lot of fabric, so we're kind of collecting it all up. But yeah, it's kind of, it's, there's lots of things you can do. It's just making it all work and meeting the right people.
That's amazing. And I never knew that that's the reason, because there were definitely some brands out there, and I'm not going to name any on here. There were definitely some brands out there though, where, you know, you need to go up a size. There were a couple of brands where I know if I go to there, I need to go up a size because everything always is small. I didn't know that was why. That's so interesting.
Yeah. I know, it's a bit naughty, but yeah, for us, I kind of want people to be able to come to the brand, especially with being an online brand. You have to, you know, people need to know, you know, if they bought that t-shirt and they love that fit, they want that to be the same again. So yeah, it's continuity and transparency for us. You know, I, having worked in the industry, I just want to be transparent and real about what Fika is about and, you know, what we're trying to do.
Well, thank you. And you just mentioned then about being an online brand. And in a little while, we're going to talk about where people can actually buy Fika from, where you're stocked and how your finding stock is and that kind of thing. But so I'd love to know a little bit more about the process of sort of designing and launching the brand, because so it was, what, 2.5 years ago maybe that you came up with the concept. Can you talk us through a little bit of what it, and I know like it's massive and you've gone into some, lots of details already. I just think it'd be really useful for listeners particularly interested in fashion to kind of have a sense of the stages you need to go through
definitely
to launch, whether it's a fashion brand or just a one-off fashion product, because I'm assuming there are some key steps that you need to go through.
Yes, definitely. It's quite, you know, it changed a couple of times. So the first thing that obviously we did was research. So research the market, what was out there, how we could do something different to what was out there already. I mean, I think after following the pandemic and the last couple of years in the industry, you know, the market's completely changed. There's a lot of really well-established brands that aren't there anymore or have joined other brands. So for us, it was to see what was already out there, and really think about who our targeted customer was. So we did want it to be kind of 30 plus, because we felt like that there wasn't a lot out there for that age bracket. And then the next thing we did was, which really was difficult, took a long time, but really helped me, was to pinpoint our core values and almost like a mission statement, because I just think it's so important to have that focus as a brand, because you're creative, you're getting all these different ideas, you're seeing all these different things, you're meeting all these different people, you're getting all, you know, it almost gets a little bit much. So when you really home into kind of your customer, who you're targeting, and what those core values, what you really want to achieve, and what our long-term goal is, you know, hopefully one day Fika will be able to expand into other areas, you know, become more of a lifestyle brand. I don't know if that will happen, but that was all part of the mindset. And I think it's really important to have that in your head as well. And then in terms of designing the product, we really went back to basics, you know, having previously we would have, you know, looked at inspiration, looked, you know, anything from things like art galleries to what people are actually wearing, you know, street style, what other people are doing. We kind of went everywhere and immersed ourselves. We actually did me and the design team, a seminar on colour and how it's within sort of fashion and textiles, and how certain colours can sort of evoke certain kind of emotions, and what colours would do that and why they would do that. So we kind of took that along with some of sort of seasonably fashionable colours, because we want Fika to be a happy, positive brand. It's quite colourful. So that was really interesting. And I love doing things like that, where you can really, and you know, when we've done shows and things, people, you can see it come through on people and they feedback to you, so that's great. But we went back to basics, and we'd normally do it on a computer, but we sat down, we had loads of images, we had a big like a mood board, like a physical mood board, and we literally just like pinned images on there, fabrics on there, colors on there. And that was our real basis of where the first range kind of started, and we had it in front of us all the time. And it was just so good to have it in that really simple and plain way, because again, I think you can get really kind of confused about, is this the right thing to do? Is that the right thing to do? Especially when you're a small team as well, you're second guessing everything you're doing when you're doing it for the first time as well. So it really kept us sort of in line, and I really wanted to create that, you know, what is that capsule wardrobe that woman wants, and what does she want to update it with? And then it was kind of time to sort of, when we got that all together, we made obviously the samples and things like that. That took quite a long time to get right, get the fit right. I did that all in advance, whereas, you know, as a supplier, you would submit a sample and then the kind of retailer would fit it. But we did all of that beforehand, because I just wanted to reduce that lead time later on. And then we kind of went into the branding, which was super exciting. We worked with a company to help us on that, because I felt like it was a really important part of the brand that I was happy to invest a little bit more money in, because I do see hopefully the brand being going into other avenues in the future. And I wanted a logo and an aesthetic that would work on different things. And that as well really helped the brand come to life. But that was a big process. I mean, you know, just getting getting it all right, but it did all fall into place, you know, all those things obviously took quite a long time, so I'm kind of whizzing through it a little bit more. But yeah, it all of those kind of all came together, and then we did a show in Birmingham only in September. That was our first show, and we kind of put the brand out there and everyone loved it, and it kind of, that's where it all kind of started and how it happened.
Oh, amazing. Oh, thank you. So your show you did in September, is that where you found your first stockist for the brand?
Yes. Yeah, we did really well. To be honest, that was really a show for us to create brand awareness and get real kind of feedback on the range. And, you know, there's nothing like in real life getting someone's real reaction to things. And it was more than I could have ever have asked for in terms of feedback. And meeting people, just, you know, familiarizing yourselves with people that have their own businesses, they have their own independent boutiques, are actually doing really well at the moment, which is brilliant. You know, the UK high street, I know that times are tough and for everyone at the moment, but, you know, these independent businesses are doing really well, which is great to see. And everyone's really kind of pulling together and supporting each other, which is really nice. Even the other sort of fashion brands, everyone's doing their own thing and supporting each other, which I think is really nice because there is enough space for everyone. Everyone's so different.
Definitely. So was this a trade show specifically for the fashion industry?
It was Moda. So we did Moda, which has got Autumn Fair on it as well. So yeah, we were in the fashion bit, obviously, next to the catwalk, and we got, you know, some things on the catwalk. They came over, they loved it so much, said, oh, can we get some things on the catwalk? And we were like, yes, of course. So that was incredible as well. And, you know, industry people from the industry like Draper's Magazine, they came and loved the brand and did a whole feature on me. So just having that awareness for us, you know, when we just launched was incredible, really. So getting orders, which obviously is the main reason we were there, which I didn't expect on the first show. I was kind of prepared for it to be a little bit longer, so that was great.
You know, that is great, because it sounds like you were there with the intention of getting some feedback maybe and brand awareness.
Yeah. And then people were like, so can we buy? And I was like, yeah, of course you can. Yeah. So that was, I mean, it was amazing. It was absolutely incredible.
That's brilliant. And are you able to tell us any of the places you'll stock first of all? Just, are there a few that you can tell us?
Yeah, we haven't gone in yet. We're going in to a couple in December. So there's one called Moo, which is based in Leamington Spa, and one in North Wales, which is, I don't think she's opened yet. She's actually opening on the 1st of December herself. So she's bought a really big FICA range, which is amazing. And there's one called Domestic Science, which is based in the Cotswolds. We've got some things going a little bit later for them. But again, they've got three stores. So for us, that was just brilliant. And then one called Dream On, which supports women that are recovering from cancer, which is something really close to my heart personally. So when I met her at the show, and you know what they do for women is just incredible. So we really wanted to be a part of that as well.
That's amazing. And a trade show is the main way that you're finding stockists, because as a new brand, I guess it must be quite hard to get stocked. And I guess if people can see your clothes and feel your clothes, and it must make a huge difference.
That's exactly what it is. I think when people actually saw it and could feel it, they were like, okay, this is worth, you know, this money sort of thing. You know, we're trying to be a fair price. We're not super expensive, we're not super cheap, we're just somewhere in the middle. We're trying to kind of give people really great quality for a fair price. That's really what I'm really passionate about achieving. It definitely, trade shows at the moment was probably something I hadn't thought about. My business partner, he has a home fragrance brand, which I know you know, and he has done quite a lot of these trade shows, and I helped him for a day on a couple of them. And I think that's what really inspired me, seeing everyone have their own little niche, their own little business. I thought, actually, this is a really great way of, you know, I'd never kind of seen that kind of thing, so I've been in such a different world. So for us, it's just been incredible. I'm actually doing three more, one in January and two in February, just because they're a brilliant opportunity to network and meet people. I mean, it's just, it's great. It's really, I'd really recommend it if you're a new brand. It's really worth it.
Yeah, I actually met your business partner, Demi, at a trade show. They are great. I've never been to one. It was my first one I attended, and I just think they're brilliant because, as you say, you just get, and it, because I think this, particularly with fashion, I mean, I think it's probably the same for lots of other products. So Demi was there with his candle brand, and I felt, again, that's a product that you need to actually be able to smell, because
it makes such a difference. People were trying things on, and we made a bit of a mistake because we didn't take a mirror. I took everything else. I thought I had everything, and I thought, well, I don't know if people want to try things on. I don't know why I thought that, and you know, obviously they did. So we would, you know, luckily the guy next to us was lovely, and he had all that we used. But the feedback was great, and it's really nice to meet people in real life and just talk to people. And you know, some things orders have come from, they haven't come from and they might come later, but you know, just meeting those people and having, you know, they've got that awareness of you is really great.
Especially, I think it is, it's fantastic, and especially when your brand currently is online as well. So I think, and I know that you've got a great Instagram, and as you said, I've been on your Instagram and I can see you've got some great styling tips, and you're sharing a lot of your outfits, but there's no substitute really, is there, for actually seeing something in real life.
Yeah, totally. And I am the same. I still like seeing things in shops and things like that when I can. And that's what's really nice about, you know, partnering with smaller boutiques and things for the wholesale route, because it enables your brand to get out there in different parts of the country that you wouldn't normally have it in. And, you know, we really want Fika to be in the right places. And I'm so happy with the brands that the companies that we've partnered with so far, because they have very similar kind of ethos to what we're trying to get across. You know, they're trying to reinvent the high street and change things. And, you know, I think the more that we club together, the kind of stronger that we'll be, and we'll make a change.
Yeah, definitely. And is your plan just to sell wholesale, or do you have other plans going forward?
Yeah, so we started with a wholesale route because, you know, to get some orders in and a bit of money coming from a cash flow point of view, it kind of made sense for us. And again, getting that brand awareness was really important. We have gone on the back of anything that's been ordered. We've ordered a small amount for our website, which is kind of currently being worked on and due to be, which is another whole complicated process, but it's due to go live kind of hopefully beginning of next year, if not before. We've kind of decided to do a little bit of both. And also, I mean, I'm probably being a bit cautious, but I quite like to take things slowly. So, you know, just ensuring that our setup and our process, I've built in probably way too much time in terms of the production time and getting it here and then getting it back out to our new stock, is just making sure that, you know, for this first run, keeping it quite small is quite a good thing for us, just making sure that our processes are completely as they need to be. You know, and really want to be able to deliver well what we've said we're going to do, which touch wood at the moment, it's all going to plan. So it's exciting, really exciting.
That's amazing. And I do see that there probably does need to be so much thought that goes into it, because, I mean, especially when you start selling on your website, it's sort of ordering and fulfillment and storage. And
yes,
there's a lot, isn't there?
There is a lot. And, you know, we're a small team. You know, I have two designers, which are incredible. And, you know, they do more than just the designing. They kind of help me with, you know, help me at the shows. They'll help me back end when the stock comes in. So, yeah, but it's still, you know, you think, oh gosh, before I started, all three people, that's loads of people and loads of time. But actually, because you're right, there's so much to kind of think about and do at every point. It's a lot of hard work, but I do love it, so that's great.
Oh, it's good to know that you love it.
I do.
You have to do so much.
Yeah, that's part of the problem actually when I started, was kind of making sure that I had time to myself and time for the business. Obviously the first sort of year or so has been quite intense. I haven't really stopped, but more recently I've really tried to segregate my time better, manage my time better.
It definitely sounds so, like, I'm not saying there's not any hard work to come, but it definitely sounds like you put in a lot of work sort of prior to the launch, which hopefully has set you up really well now.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Oh, thank you so much for all that you shared, Helen. I have one final question, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
I ask everyone a variation of this question, not the exact question. But what would your number one piece of advice be for anyone else looking to start a fashion brand?
I would say to understand the market and how it is changing constantly, and making sure that your brand is adaptable, because fashion is just, it's changing all the time, and the world is changing. I think that you need to stay true to your brand as well. So, you know, whatever your thing is, make sure that you shout about it and that you stay true to it throughout the process, even at times if it's really hard. And, you know, have those, as I said before, those core values and that strategy really clear in your head and in place. And one of the, sorry, I'm giving you like five things here, but one of the other things I would say is just ensure that you understand all the elements of clothing manufacturing, because there is so much that goes into it, you know, not only from a fit point of view, but from a fabric point of view, from a technical fabric point of view. And there's just so much that it is a complicated process, which I think a lot of people don't realize. So just make sure that you're really clued up and, you know, ready to kind of take whatever comes, because it is hard, but it is wonderful. So yeah, that's my main piece, I think.
Oh, thank you. No, that's really great advice. And I think you're right. When I think I've only spoken to one other fashion brand on here a while ago, and I was a bit blown away by having to think about seams and stitching and a lot of those things. Yeah. As a consumer, you don't even consider.
There's so many things, Joe, I mean my design team get it because they're the same, but you know, we get excited about, you know, what buttons we put, you know, new button shape we've got, or a new button finish, or you know, the depth of a waistband or something like that. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but if you're determined enough, anyone can do anything. So
that's brilliant. Thank you so much. And that's what a lovely positive way to end. Thank you so much, Helen.
Oh no, thank you so much, it's been lovely.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again and see you next week.
Hi, this is just a little note to say, if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.